You're back with Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Paonia author Craig Childs became a doomsday tourist to write his new book. He traveled to the glaciers of Patagonia, the mountains of Tibet, and the volcanoes of Hawaii to learn how natural forces might wipe out civilization. Cheery, huh? But Childs writes, the interest is not merely prurient. This is what the Earth is capable of. It's something that should be known. His book is called Apocalyptic Planet, A Field Guide to the Ever-Ending Earth. I asked him what he means when he calls the Earth ever-ending.
Well, you know, there's this notion that things will suddenly come to an end. You know, we have these apocalyptic stories we tell. And I'm looking at Earth's history and saying, well, you know, it looks like it's always coming to an end. There are always these different levels of endings, different kinds of apocalypses, different dramatic changes that are always happening.
And this is really in contrast to how we imagine the apocalypse coming. You know, the Hollywood movies depict one event that wipes out all of humanity. And really, your book is about the fact that there are many apocalypses happening all over the world. I mentioned at the outset your travels to Patagonia in Chile. You look at melting glaciers there and natural disasters I'd never heard of. They're called GLOFs, glacier lake outburst floods. You travel to Tibet, where you see up close how earthquakes, really big ones called megathrusts, shape the planet. But the most unlikely and, if I can say it, unromantic place you go is Iowa. Why do you go to Iowa to learn about how civilization might end?
Well, it is in many ways the most unromantic chapter, because it was just so hellish to be backpacking through GMO cornfields at the height of summer. And it represents to me the total changing of the land, everything about it, everything that lived there is removed, is replaced by monoculture. And I guess when I wrote this book, I have all these different world endings I'm looking at. And that's the one that I actually fear the most, that humans just go on as we are now, just keep increasing in numbers until there is really nothing left, that everything on the planet is ours, is manufactured by us. And my object there was to say, what does a mass extinction look like? What does it look like on the ground? And that's what I finally came up with. I looked around the world at the RLC in Central Asia, at Madagascar, places where extinctions are happening rapidly. But I finally came up with Iowa, because 90% of the state is under agricultural production, which means 90% of the land is just human. And imagine that in Colorado. Imagine if 90% of our state was engineered by us. That it's a terrifying thought.
Craig, it seems to me that you could observe the monoculture of Iowa without having to backpack through it in the summer heat.
Well, yeah, I definitely thought about that. There must have been another way. But I wanted to get in the thick of it. I actually wanted to hit it at the height of the growth. And originally, I wanted to get there when they say you can hear it growing. And I missed that by about a week. So it had stopped growing. Really, my purpose in this book was to go to the extremes.
I can't help but notice that your book has come out not long before the end of the Mayan calendar, December 21st.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to get this book out, and I don't know if it mattered that it came out when it did, but I really, when I started writing this book, I wanted it to kind of push against this notion of, oh, the world's going to end in 2012, or the world is going to end at all. I wanted to counter that and say, you know, it sounds like a lot of people out there want the world to end, and you know, they're excited for it to end. And I wrote this book to say this is what the end actually looks like. So if you're excited for this, you may want to rethink it. If you're pushing for things to finally be real, for everybody to look up all at once and say, oh my God, it's really happening, I want to say, you don't want that to happen. You don't want to see that come to pass. And here are the chapters, here are the locations to explain why that is something that you don't want.
A lot of the natural disasters that could wipe out humanity are related to global warming. I mean, rising sea levels, desertification, the loss of glaciers. But when you take the long view, like the really long view, millions of years, you realize the Earth is always reinventing itself. Species are constantly dying and being reborn. Does your book actually undermine global warming fears by saying, heck, something's going to wipe us out eventually, you know?
Yeah, that was actually the primary concern of mine as I was writing the book, because I'm trying to look at it from these different perspectives. And like you say, there's the long perspective of, you know, everything's going to work out fine. The Earth has seen far worse than this in the past. But I also want to say, we haven't seen the far worse than this. The species that are alive on this planet right now have not seen far worse than this. So I'm looking at the long view, and I do worry that people will take that and say, oh, hell, we can do anything. You know, the world's going to be fine. But I keep trying to draw it back to now and say, well, yes, the world will be fine in 10 million years, but we aren't here for 10 million years. We are here for now. The species that we know are here for now. How do we operate within those confines? So I'm trying to look at the world from all scales.
Which underscores something that I have felt for some time, which is that we talk about Earth Day, save the Earth. It's not the Earth we're saving, it's ourselves.
Right. The Earth can handle much worse than this and regenerate, but we can't. And the creatures that are alive with us now can't. So it is definitely more about saving this moment on Earth than the Earth itself.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and Paeonia author Craig Childs is with us talking about his new book, Apocalyptic Planet, a field guide, he calls it, to the ever-ending Earth. This topic can get really depressing really fast. Tell me about a moment on this journey when you were able to laugh.
You're right. There were times that this would get really depressing. I'd be reading scientific journal articles and interviewing researchers and just going, oh no, this just isn't going to work. But there were moments out there. I mean, I tried to write this book with the levity of the actual experiences. I mean, when I was out on the glaciers in Patagonia, I was out with a film crew and we were doing a save the world kind of documentary down there. And boy, as soon as we got up onto the top of a glacier after backpacking for days and got our crampons on, and man, the cameras hit the ground and everybody just ran. It was like a bunch of kids unleashed on a playground. And we're looking down into these moulins, these glacier melt holes where waterfalls are pouring down. You know, at one point we're looking around for some of the film crew, and it turned out that a couple of them had crawled down into a crevasse and were having sex. And you know, it was just this like, we're alive out on this ice, just laughing, uproarious, and it was just a beautiful moment on the planet, even though, you know, the ice is coming apart in front of us. You can hear it snapping and breaking and big pieces of multi-story pieces of ice coming off of the glacier edges and crashing down into these balded valleys that are just left bare because the ice has retreated so recently. And there we are, these live human beings running around, cackling, just having the extraordinary experience of being alive. That makes me laugh.
You know, each disaster, each way the Earth could kill us is assigned its own chapter in your book. There is no concluding chapter, though, no sum up of what's most likely to end our human party on the planet, no reflection on which way you'd like to go and which way you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Did you think about that?
You know, I intentionally set it up this way so there wasn't an answer at the end, because there isn't really an answer. That, you know, I think about the human species and where we're bound. And as I was writing the book, you know, friends were coming to me and going, so you're talking to all these scientists and you're exploring these ideas. So when's it going to happen? And what's it going to be? And that's the one thing that you can't answer. I don't know if anything's going to take us down. In fact, one of my fears is that we will survive at the cost of everything else. And when I think about humans, I think, oh, we're one of the more diverse, adaptable, cunning species on this planet. Chance of us disappearing are slim. I actually think we're going to be around for a long time. Maybe not our societies, our languages, our civilizations, but as a species, I think we're on this planet for the long haul.
I want to wrap up with a question about how you wrap up the book, which is with a thank you. And included is the entire town of Paonia.
They witness the writing of this book. When I'm writing, I tend to be all over the place. I write at the library, at the brewery, at people's houses. I just kind of move around. I have a traveling office. So everybody in town kind of witnesses the throes of my writing projects, and they are also part of it. You know, I'll be somewhere late at night. Last Saturday night at about 1 in the morning, I was at the downstairs bar. The band was playing, and I was sitting in the corner typing on my computer, and I get to the end of a sentence, and I can't figure out where to go next and how to develop this idea. So I start talking to the nearest person next to me. I say, hey, what do you think about this? And so I feel like the things I write are somewhat written by the people around me. The ideas are – they helped generate them.
Craig, thanks so much for talking to us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Ryan.
Author Craig Childs lives in Paonia, Colorado. His new book is called Apocalyptic Planet. His next book, which he's already writing, is about the first humans to arrive in North America.